The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We're back again, anticipating your phone calls, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Give me one second here. I'm going to try and get over here and close the door to the outside. The dogs have been out again. They're coming back in, and I just was lackadaisical and didn't shut the door before the show started. One second. Well, the dog just ran out again, so I guess we'll wait. We'll have to wait now. You'll have to wait, and I'll have to freeze. That's the way it is. 410 WCBM 680, welcome to the Outdoorsman Radio Show, Easter weekend, and we are just anticipating your call. So we spoke to, and Joe emailed me back and said he'll speak to his Simon Air again to see what's going on with it, but the House is expected to pass the HB 935. Senate has already passed it, but, you know, different politicians tell different constituents different things. Imagine that. So let's see what else we've got on the docket here for the General Assembly. Sunday waterfowl hunting, dead in the water, didn't make it out of committee. It's opposed by too many people, very controversial because the hunters on the shore, including the guides, strongly believe the resource, the AP Canada geese, can't take the added pressure. Right or wrong, it's the way they feel. The optics of the hunting community fighting one another in the halls of Annapolis is a bad thing. And this is a bill that's not really driven by any interest here by anybody in the state, more so outside influences, the alphabet groups revolving around waterfowl, the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, National Shooting Sports Foundation. You see, there's this thing out there called the Sunday Hunting Coalition or something like that that wants universal Sunday hunting in every state for every Sunday. And when it comes down to the here, let me give you an example of how bad this is here in Maryland. In Dorchester County, some of the Sundays that are open all day. Some of the alternative Sundays that have become open through legislation have only been allowed to be, you're only allowed to hunt till 10:30 in the morning. Then you're done for the day. No evening hunt on those Sundays. 10:30 a.m., done. Stupid, in my opinion. I was actually in the meeting with the stakeholders group when I was executive director of the Maryland Hunting Coalition, and we had reached a deal on Sunday hunting with everyone in the room, including the Maryland Horse Council. Okay? They came back and reneged on their deal, claimed they were not represented in the meeting correctly, although they said they were, and they came back and insisted that if there was going to be any increase in Sunday hunting, there was going to be a stopping time of 10:30. And then it went a couple of years, I guess, until we actually had an increase in Sunday hunting with the 10:30 restriction, which was, you know. Anyway, the repeal of the 10:30 a.m. Sunday hunting, deer hunting in Dorchester County, where you would have been able to hunt all day, did not make it. The influence of the Maryland's equine community, the Maryland Horse Council, that's me saying that, You know, the General Assembly, in lieu of, now, how do I want to say this? In capitulation to the horse community years ago, said that the definition of hunting repealed fox chasing, repealed an exemption from fox chasing from the definition of hunting. Thus require it. Now, what would happen if we would go back to the horse council and say, you know what, fox chasing and fox hunting are the same thing. So now every member of your 50-member fox hunt has to have a hunting license and a copy of written permission from every landowner whose land you intend to chase a fox across. Well, they'd flip out. They would absolutely flip out. And keep in mind, folks, there are powerful forces in Annapolis. There are powerful people in the House and in the Senate who believe that the horse council is right on everything they put forward and vote that way. So the hunters are just, you know, and here's the sad part. Maryland Horse Council deals with all aspects of the horse industry in Maryland. The racing, the dressage, and the trail riding. The shows and dressage where, you know, you go to a horse show and you show your horse and it does the different steps and all that stuff. The horse race. The horse racing people don't care about Sunday hunting. The dressage people don't care about Sunday hunting. It's the arm of the Maryland Horse Council that supports trail riding, and that vocal group that pretty much runs the show that has never been in favor of Sunday hunting or any, and they fight every effort to increase Sunday hunting, especially for deer hunting in every county. Okay, so what would happen if we would repeal their exemption from fox hunting? You know, their exemption to that says, you know, what they do is not hunting, even though they chase a fox with the dogs to its eventual denning or death or escape. Okay, run that poor animal just like you would run a rabbit with a pack of beagles. Okay, and occasionally the dogs catch the fox and tear it to pieces. You know, and when the fox is caught, there's this big ceremony called blooding where they take the hide and the head and they cut everything, the tail and the paws, and cut everything off, and they blood the members whose dog brought the this is why this bloody sport was stopped in Great Britain, because it is primitive, quite frankly. Well, what would happen? What would happen if every member of every horse chasing every person on horseback or with a dog would have to have a hunting license? What would happen? They increased their fur takers permit to, I believe, $50 now from what it used to be at $10. So anyway, it's failed. You're going to have to stop at 10:30 again. The prohibition on the use of lead-based ammunition, very, very close, very close. Very close. And it could still pass, but not looking like it. A mandated $300,000 liability coverage for owning a firearm. Not yet voted down, but it's a bad bill. Gun ownership in Maryland would require the carrier to have a $300 liability insurance protection coverage. That means if you're taking your 12-year-old out with his 300 legend for his first deer hunt, you're going to have to carry $300 worth of liability insurance just because you happen to own a firearm, just because he's carrying that firearm. It's a terrible bill. Terrible bill. Awful. Not voted down yet, but may not pass. We're not hearing that it's going to. We're not hearing that it's not going to. So we'll see. Anyway, if you'd like to comment on that, we'd love to hear from you. Let's talk to... Pardon me, Glenn in Chestertown. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Yeah,
What's that?
Critical things there. Thank you, got some critical things there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going. Yeah, they sure are. There's no question. That's why we vote, buddy. That's why we have to vote. That's why you got to register to vote. That's why you got to vote in the primaries. That's got to know. That's because you... You know, you have to know who the people you're electing, not just as president, but through your local offices, to your, you know, all politics is local. You got to know who your people that are running for city council and county commissioner and you know, state delegate and state senator. You got to know who these people are, what they stand for. Go to their meetings. Go to their fundraisers. Ask the questions that you want to ask and see what they tell you. And then if they vote a different way or they introduce legislation that's contrary to what you want, vote them out. Like Willie Nelson says, vote them out, you know? So, but, you know, Maryland's primary is sometime late in May. There's still time to register to vote, and I don't want to hear any excuses about registering to vote.
I'm still registered to vote.
Yeah, well, not, I mean, people go, well, if I register to vote, I'm going to get called for jury duty. Well, no, you have a driver's license, so you stand a chance of getting called for jury duty if you have a driver's license. So, yeah. How was your week anyway, Glenn?
Well, just normal week.
Yeah, I got it. Well, appreciate you calling in.
You can tell Robin Nelson hard.
I'll do that, buddy. I'll sure tell her. So,
okay.
Spring's coming. Thanks for the call.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Yep. All right. Lee and Towson. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Hey, Alan. Good morning.
Good morning. Looks like one of your favorite fishing spots is off limits.
Yeah. That's kind of the base of what I called on this morning.
The
span between the two there, that bridge, is roughly, I think it's 850 feet.
Okay.
And the width of those massive ships, which seem to be getting bigger all the time, or, you know, when you think about it, it's the navigating under that bridge is, I would assume, for these pilots and captains and whatnot, is somewhat tricky.
No question.
When they pull off of their designated pier, wherever they're offloading, getting ready to head back out,
yeah,
there's usually two tugs, one on either side,
right,
that runs them up to the not even to the bumpers there. There's two bumpers,
right,
on either side of the bridge, two round concrete bumpers, and those tugs. They're done with them once they've gotten to the point of where they just let them. They're moving straight.
Yeah, what's
the other? They move, and then when they're coming into the harbor, the escorts, their pilot meets them. I think way out at the mouth,
yeah,
of Patapsco, maybe even further. The pilot, you know, brings them in,
right,
and then the tugs pick them up on the inside of the key bridge, because I see,
right,
it's kind of neat. They hover at the bumpers on the inside, and then the tugs will pick up the ship. Now, I'm not sure whether those ships shut down as they're, you know, tied off or onto the tugs or what. I think they're still probably under some power.
Right.
But,
Well, this ship was headed back out, wasn't it? This one wasn't coming in. This was going out.
Yeah,
and
obviously it was some sort of failure. Any other thing?
No question.
The investigation, they say, is going to take a year to 2 years or something.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're talking all kinds of things. They're talking fuel. They're talking, you know, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories out there as well. And, that's human nature to do that stuff. But, you know, sometimes there can just be just gross mechanical failure. You know,
that's probably the word is, Alan, you wonder, you know, when your car needs oil change. You know, if you get an oil change, or you're going to potentially have problems with the engine, and
right,
you know, the transmission's acting up. You know, you go get it fixed, and
yeah,
you know, here's this boat, and these guys are run 24/7.
Yeah,
other than when they're docked, they're showing their age, so they're, you know, there's probably maintenance issues on all these things. It's,
well, not only that, you know, we don't know where that boat has been, where it's gotten fuel. Right. I mean, you know, with the Suez Canal being shut down, and you know, perhaps low water there. All kinds of theories are out there that these guys get their fuel wherever they can get it. Who knows what kind of quality of fuel is being put into these giant ships around the world? You know, until the investigation is done, nobody's going to know. And you know, you can speculate, you can calculate, you can talk about it if you want, but you know, it's far better if you just leave it to the experts. And you know,
well, and another perspective to put this in, I was thinking last night. Look at our highways, our the metal guardrails and Jersey walls and cars going off the side of the road and in the walls and into abutments and stuff.
That's true.
What's to say that this doesn't happen on the water? Well, yes, it did.
It did. It certainly did.
And, you know, it's some of it's mechanical error on the highways now. I think it's, aggressive driving and whatnot, but accidents happen.
No question.
Unfortunately, this is beyond my comprehension. I'd be honest with you, I could, every time I'm fishing the Key Bridge, I've seen Eddie and my a couple friends. We were in there fishing, and they were bringing a large boat ship container ship into the gypsum plant,
mm-hmm.
and the wind got up. We actually seeked shelter at the end of the bridge on the Baltimore County side.
Right.
To get out of the wind, and we watched this two tugs, Alan, pushing the this large cargo ship up to the gypsum plant. Well, they were losing it, Alan.
Oh, man, that's so good.
And it was no good, and guess where it's drifting back to? The Key
Towards
Bridge.
You. Oh, yeah, of course.
So here out of, I think it was Bain Brothers or one of the other tugs, they come booking out of Curtis Creek, and get around. There's four tugs now on this thing, Alan. I don't know how close the back end of this thing, but it wasn't straight, and it was heading towards the Key Bridge.
Man.
And just the fact, you don't hear about it. There's other incidents that happen all the time.
No doubt. No doubt.
And a friend of mine who was telling me of hitting the dolphins at the end of the Sparrow's Point,
sure,
with a tug and took them out. So there's things that happen.
I was going across the Bay Bridge one day, and I looked down and there was a whale floating in the bay, between 7 foot and all in the Bay Bridge, and I'm like that's a whale, and I just kept driving and might have said something to somebody at that time, and sure enough, a couple days later, there was a whale caught in a cargo ship that docked at the harbor. Well, yeah, it got hit by something. It was, it was being carried by a cargo ship. It lost it, and another cargo ship picked it up and brought it into the harbor, So yeah. I don't know if you remember that incident or not, but, I mean, that whale was floating free out in the bay there for a while,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's all kinds of things happen, no question.
But it's unfortunately, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, the worst thing is these workers that lost
no question,
lives.
No question. Our hearts go out to their family, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So
and they aren't going to be able to recover the bodies and
not yet.
But regardless, it's a huge loss. And I'm either at the Bay Bridge or Key Bridge or in the Patapsco somewhere or something.
Sure.
But my son, the one column that they hit, he was on low tide. He could skip a bucktail up underneath of that column and catch rockfish till that second picture I sent you was him skipping his – and I was just net boy, but
Yeah.
In that respect, for our family, it's definitely gonna be missed. But
no question.
But end of story. I'm at all with this event.
Anybody that's ever traveled over that bridge, you know, and I go into East Baltimore very seldom, but you know, I've traveled
that bridge a fair amount.
Yeah. Not like the people that live there, but you know, it's like you look at this thing, you get on one end, and you go to the other, and it takes a couple minutes, and you look at that video, and you go, that whole thing just gone.
Yeah,
in seconds, you know. So
it's amazing that the support comms were a series of four. I think it was four columns that went up there. There wasn't a solid member of pier piling there. It was I think there was four that went down to the bottom. But I would imagine that whole piece, that whole structure there, it looks like it got completely wiped out.
Oh yeah,
seeing how the boat is pushed up on top of it.
Yep.
But it'll be interesting. With the removal of the debris and some of these leaky containers. I didn't need to hear all that crap.
No, you don't.
The Patapsco's been looking awfully beautiful the last 3 years with not seeing red tides and all that. And let's just hope this. And Joe's going to buy us a new bridge. So that'll be nice. Hopefully it fixes that train trestle that was up there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, the Amtrak's going to have to step up and replace those tracks that Joe traveled on the Key Bridge across, you know. So, with that, I'm going to let you go.
With that.
All right.
Okay, Alan, have a good one, buddy.
Happy Easter, buddy. Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye. Backyard billies. Ah, yes, indeed. Backyard billies. I like to say when winter's coming, winter's right around the corner. Well, summer's right around the corner, too, you know. And Backyard Billies has everything in Backyard Billies. Backyard and front yard and side yard and inside and outside. It's your go-to place on Kent Island for making backyards fun. Colorful, weatherproof, poly outdoor and patio furniture, tables, chairs, Adirondack chairs. You can see all that from Route 50. Right up there, coming off of Kent Narrows, you'll find swing sets and storage sheds and dog kennels and pergolas and gazebos and greenhouses and chicken coops, and any kind of structure for your backyard is available at Backyard Billy's. On the bigger stuff, free delivery and setup within 60 miles. Free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. Why not? Inside the showroom, there's the great barbecue grills, the pellet grills by Traeger, the ceramic smoker grills by Kamado Joe, Big Green Egg. You'll see those at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. And don't forget, there's a huge assortment of outdoor fire pits and rings to warm up those still chilly spring evenings if you want to go out and roast some hot dogs and some marshmallows. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace, stove, and hearth dealer in the region, with gas fireplace inserts, with electric wall fireplace simulators, which are beautiful, and the heat as well. And then you've got the pellet stoves, the wood stoves, the pellet inserts, the gas inserts, and the wood inserts for your fireplace. BackyardBillies.com is the place to go. 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week, Route 50 at exit 44B, Evans Avenue in Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop. Look, shotgun shooting sports, as Joe said, shotgun shooting sports are going to get a little more expensive if the 11% excise tax bill passes. It will increase the price of ammo and firearms another 5%. I'd like you to think about the 725 Satori Sporting over and under shotgun, or the Satori CXT, or the Satori White Lightning, that Satori series of shotguns at Clyde Sports Shop. They're all Brownings. Feature chrome-plated chambers, triple trigger systems, backbore technology, and Vector Plus choke tube systems. And if you like them for upland birds, there's a Satori that'll fit your needs as well. So think about that as far as shotgun shooting sports at Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Baltimore, exit number 9. I say Lansdowne, it could be Halethorpe. It's 21227, whatever that zip code covers. 410-242-6108. Clyde Sports Shop is open 7 days a week for firearms, licenses, ammunition, and scope mounting. Clyde Sports Shop is your place to be. We'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec Liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec Liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec Liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. These MilSpec Liner dealers can install any truck accessories too. Tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment to have your truck protected with a MilSpec Liner today.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Come right back with our buddy Dale in Easton. Good morning, Uncle Dale. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, sir. How are you? I trust Robin's feeling better.
Feeling all right. Getting better. Yep, good. Getting better.
Good. You know, I saw in the news last night, you talk about some of the hunting bills.
Yeah.
There was a bill, fishing bill put in that would authorize the department to be able to go to digital recording for commercial catches.
Okay.
and I didn't know whether you had seen that or not.
I had heard something about it. I don't know much about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was. I was never much of a fan of it before, but the more I think about it, Alan, the more I think it's not a bad idea. It would certainly be a more timely type data collection system.
Yeah.
Now, again, you're still going to have problems with it, but you got problems with the paper recording, too, so it's, you know.
That's true.
It's quite a trade-off, but one of the interesting comments I saw in the news last night was one of the commercial charter captains was saying that, well, they would be happy with it, but why don't they apply it to the other recreational anglers, which
exactly.
I thought was interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
That would be a tough nut to crack, I think, because of the, you know, how big the recreational fishery is. But
yeah, exactly.
Certainly, Alan, the recreational data is sorely lacking. The fisheries,
it sure is.
You know, people complain about the commercial guys, and you know, you've got good guys and bad guys, but we have a better handle. The state has a better handle on their harvest than they do on the recreational people.
Sure. So. Yes, they do. I mean, and they're, you know, they I agree with you. The recreational guy just, you know,
well,
I don't know.
Some of them think they're, you know what, don't stink.
Well, I know, but, there's less of a concern about conservation of the species, in my opinion, among the majority of the recreational anglers. I mean, you can say, okay, you know, we need to have limits for such and such and spawning and reproduction and, you know, sustainable fishery. And they'll get that. But, you know, you just want to catch as many fish as you can, and if it ain't the right size or if, you know, that's not the one you want to keep, we'll just throw it back and let Mother Nature deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not it's going to make it or not. So
yeah, that's true. And there are other bits of data that would be very important to the department, effort, locations and things like that would be most important to the department.
Yeah,
harvest.
I know you get the department emails. I'm sure they're in your inbox, you know, every time DNR offers a press release or something like that.
Yeah.
Were you able to go in and look at those scientific reports?
Jim Uphoff's paper? No, I
Jim Uphoff, yeah.
Yeah.
Jim,
the way I do, it was probably top shelf stuff.
Oh, no question. It's very well worth the read, both of those.
Yeah, maybe I'll try to dig them out and take a look at them.
Yeah, that would be of interest to you. I mean, if you still have an interest, that would be something that would it opened my eyes. And you know what else opened my eyes? And that's that the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries white paper, you call it a white paper, whatever they call it, I don't know, on striped bass management. I mean, it's quite an extensive piece, but there are gems in there that you can pull out, like the dead bycatch, or dead discard, dead discard numbers. You know, everybody says 9-10%. Well, yeah, that's the round number, but if you dig into the numbers, some of these reports are as much as 35%, depending on the time of year.
Many other scientists who work with the SMSC from the other states are quite good, Alan.
No question.
They know what they're talking about. So, I mean,
sure.
Sometimes, you know, there is a bias as you go down the coast.
That was always
an interesting exercise on my part to see that bias.
Depending on whose ox is being gored, right?
There you go. That's my old boss's favorite expression.
Yep.
Well, I'll try to get them down with you this week. My
all right, sounds
for
good.
Being so slow, but
that's all right.
Other stuff going on here right now.
I get it. I understand it. Other stuff goes on all the time.
There you go.
You know. Very good, my friend.
My best to Robin.
Yes, sir. Happy Easter to you.
Same to you, sir.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye. There goes Dale. All right. Let's see. Excuse me. Got to grab this. Talk about this. There seems like when we have a good conversation, there's you know, you just get thrown off track here and you forget about your sponsors, and we can't forget about our sponsors. Man, I talked to Mark Walters up at Madonna Seafood for quite a long time the other day. We had a good conversation about the crab industry and the restaurant business, and, you know, he continues to support what we do here. Maryland loves crabs, coming out here pretty soon, and Mark, for the 13th year in a row, is the advertiser on the back cover, and, you know, he's quite a guy and quite a story. So, but I'm talking about Bell Creek Equipment right now. Bell Creek, Mark and his staff is having a open house on April 4th there in Preston. 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with fun and deals for the whole family. Baby goats for the kids. If you want to take kids and see some baby goats, that'd be fun. Caroline County Humane Society adoption dogs. Food and refreshment, too. You can browse the many tractors and mowers and UTVs and ATVs and accessories from the top names in the industry at Bell Creek Equipment in Preston. Branson Trailers, LS Trailers, including that beautiful camo, full camo tractor, full Mossy Oak camo, Gamekeeper's model tractor, limited edition of 100 in the country. They've got one sitting there. TYM, Bad Boy Tractors and Mowers, Coyote Tractors and UTVs, X-Mark, Hustler, excuse me, Spartan, CF Moto, ATVs and UTVs, Husqvarna Power Equipment and Echo Equipment. Financing is available, too. And there's a three-point hitch equipment out there like Tar River Tillers, Ironcraft, and No-Till Plot Planners. Those of you who are looking at food plots, or, you know, brush hogging your land, or you know, taking out a hedgerow or something like that. They've got all the equipment right there. If you need any equipment for the farm or home, stop by during the Bell Creek Equipment Open House. 4th, 5th, 6th. That's this coming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Bell Creek Equipment, 21927 Dover Bridge Road in Preston. That's between Easton and Preston. Call 410-673-2700 or visit bellcreekequipment.net. That number at Bell Creek Equipment is 410-673-2700. You'll be glad you did. Now, you're going to go past, if you're coming from Easton out Dover Road, you're going to go right past our buddies at Spurry's Tire Service on Dover and Elliott Roads. Located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50. Morning, Brent. In Easton, that's where the locals get their tires and auto service work done. Featuring American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, they have Michelin, Yokohama, too. Spurry's Tire Service has cars for your car, your truck, any make, any model, from Triumph to Triaxle. And Spurry's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard. Garden tractors, farm tractors, all the farm equipment, even the big giant stuff. If you own a trailer or an ATV, Spurry's has the tires. Any trailer, any ATV. Spurry's offers tire repair and full-service automotive repair. That includes checking, diagnosing, and repairing your vehicle when the check engine light comes on. That dreaded check engine light. I hate when that thing comes on. They'll fix it. Their 24-hour truck service and more has kept Spurry's customers, including me and Robin, and our family. Brian, our daughter, was just there this week and got some tires. Satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by, no appointment needed for tires. Call Spurry's Tire Service in Easton, 410-822-7384. Their website, spurrystire.com, 410-822-7384. Spurry's Tire Service. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com. Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truckliners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories located off Ritchie Highway at 81. Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories too. Tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment to have your truck protected with a MilSpec liner today.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
All responsible for our own actions, aren't we? All right. Hey, Fran, if you're out there listening, give us a ring on this Easter weekend. We'd love to hear from you. Hope you're doing okay. Our listeners love you and they're concerned about you. We keep hearing from different ones that are just concerned about you, baby. So give us a call. Thank you, Fran. All right, 410 WCBM 680, and we have Jordan. Good morning, Jordan. How are you, sir?
Good morning. A good intro bumper that you just played. And
oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Always good bumper music.
Oh, yeah, we try.
Just wishing you, Robin, and family a blessed and joyous Easter. And just take care, take care.
Now, Passover doesn't coincide with Easter this year, does it?
Not this year. The first time for many years it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because it's leap year in the Jewish calendar, and 29 extra days are added, so it won't happen till April 22nd.
Right, and but you're on a holiday weekend this weekend.
Yeah, it's a holiday weekend. I still have to do some work, so.
No, I mean in Jewish holidays.
No, no holiday weekend this weekend.
Not this weekend. Okay.
Last weekend it was Purim.
Yes, Purim last weekend, correct.
Right. So this weekend, no holidays.
Okay, got it. I got you. Well,
the next one will be April 22nd.
Passover
will start, right.
Right. Very good. Well, I appreciate the well wishes, my friend.
You're welcome. Anytime. You just take care. Regards to Robin and the family.
We will do that.
Be well. Thanks.
You as well. Thank you for the call, Jordan.
Bye.
Happy Easter and have a great holiday. Talk to you soon. There he goes. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Anybody on the line there, Aaron? Well, let me take this opportunity to wish you and your family a happy Easter, Aaron, and just say publicly to our listeners that you do a great job behind the scenes answering the phone. You're very courteous. We'll hear reports back about how good you are with callers on the line, and we thank you for your accuracy and your information as we do the Outdoors and Radio Show. So I just want to say, doing a great job. Yes, sir. So, all right. Our number is 410-WCBM680. Do we have any more commercial breaks coming up, Aaron? Okay, well, I might talk about backyard billies one more time. My little jinx here, I've got two dogs on my lap. My 40-pound Bernedoodle is laying here across my left leg, and also on my lap is our little... What is she, Aaron? I can't remember these dogs' names. Anyway, a little mix, aren't you? A little mixed up Jinx. That's her name. Yeah, she weighs about 10 pounds. Yeah, and here she is, a King Cavalier and a... I don't even remember what she is. If Robin's listening, maybe she can remind me. But she's a cute little crossbreed here, aren't you? Yes, you're bad, though. Yes, you are. You're bad sometimes. But right now, everybody's cool. All right, let's talk to Mark in Delaware. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you bet. I hope you and yours have a wonderful holiday, a great Easter.
We will. We've got family coming in, a kind of a low-key deal, and we're just going to enjoy relaxing on Easter Day and remembering the meaning for the season, which is, of course, we've mentioned it before, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the biggest holiday in the Christian calendar. So,
yeah, it is. It's a very holy day.
It is. No question.
Yeah. I have a question for you. What is all this rain going to have on fishing?
Well, fish are already wet.
I was thinking more about the salinity dilution, but...
Oh, well, maybe you should have said that. Rains like this in 2018 caused a catastrophe in the Chesapeake Bay region, and people don't realize it, but it was the drop in salinity... In the wet season of 2017-2018 that led to the escape of the blue catfish from the Potomac River Basin and led to its widespread distribution throughout the Chesapeake Bay, to which it has adapted very well. The biomass of blue catfish is unbelievable. I actually got to tour the processing facility the other day and watched the beginning, not the boats coming in and dropping the fish off, but the ice down containers of these big blue catfish up to 25-30 pounds. Followed that trail into the processing, the skinning, the portioning, the whole deal at the plant down here on Tillman. And it was quite interesting to watch all these catfish get turned into fish from whole fish into portion fillets. Very interesting process. So, there's not enough of the processing plants to process enough of the fish. There's not enough demand for blue catfish, although they're extremely good to eat. There's not enough markets, and the watermen are only getting paid at this moment like 20 cents a pound, which is horrible.
Oh, God.
Horrible. You know, I mean, I see it for $10 a pound in the market, but, you know, somebody in the – everybody but the waterman's making money on the catfish, so –
It doesn't pay to leave the dock for that.
In a lot of cases, it doesn't. You're right. There's about seven or so guys fishing for them out of Rock Hall. They trot line for them just like they do for crabs. They use a trot line process to catch these blue catfish. I'm very unfamiliar with that. Other fellows use, you know, the nets and that type of thing, the pound nets and so forth, but. It is a very harmful species, and it's going to be the focus of Big Ass Fish magazine this year, is the blue catfish. We focused more on the snakeheads last time, but more on blue cats this year, so we'll see how that works out. That's one of the aspects, is that you can have that kind of detrimental effect. The other aspect is, the salinity is reduced, so what effect that has on the crab catch or that, you know, striped bass or anything else, unknown at this point. So some of those are tolerant, like striped bass. I mean, we have freshwater reserves of striped bass here at Liberty Reservoir and Piney Run Park are the two places I know where we have fresh, you know, striped bass surviving and thriving and growing in freshwater without any access to salt water or anything like that. The crabs, They can take a certain amount of it, but, you know, is it going to keep them down the bay till things dry out? Is it going to keep them south? What's it going to do to the crab population? We don't know yet. So, but it's certainly a lot of rain coming. Another 2 inches this week, from what I understand. Looks like rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, wall to wall. So, you know, I know one thing. It's not any good for delivering paper magazines.
No, because they are not. Unlike fish, they are not wet.
They are not wet already. No. When they get wet, it's bad. So, but anyway, that's. I'm sorry I can't answer your question any more better.
No, that's an answer. It's not what anybody wants to hear, but it is an answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are certain saltwater species. Like, you know, in dry years, we've had incredible saltwater species in and up the bay. You know, fish like pompano and other species that you see that you just wouldn't think would be here. But when the salinities are high enough, you get that influx off the Gulf Stream, and here they are. You know, Spanish mackerel is one of those, I believe. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a matter of dealing with it.
I'm worried about what's going to happen as far as EHD with the deer population. Wet spring, dry summer is usually bad. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. You take care, buddy.
You too.
Bye. All right. Take care. Happy Easter. Bye-bye. Let's see. Okay. Folks, there's the music. Get out and stay out. Think about the reason for the season. Think about the meaning of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his impact that his shed blood had on you, on our country, and across the world. Hug your family and have a great weekend.